Are you ready to create a life you crave? Let's spin that doom loop of negativity into an upward success cycle and start living lucky. Morning. I'm Jenna.
I'm Jason.
And we are living lucky. I hope you are too. That just means we feel grateful. We feel blessed.
We feel chosen.
And we feel like God is working through us, for us, and always in our favor.
Yes.
Today we are talking about perfectionism. And as I say that, I feel like my lip gloss is puddling on the side of my mouth.
All right, let's stop and let's just do it over.
It's not perfect. Analysis paralysis. Have you ever gotten that little voice in your head that can be oh so critical and ooh such a bitch?
And somebody else is going, are we there yet? And everybody else is going, we're not even moving. We haven't even made progress.
You have to explain what you're talking about.
So a lot of times analysis paralysis or perfectionism feels like you just keep going through the motions, trying to get everything perfect, but
it's
you're
like
not getting to the goal line.
You're pushing the wheels and you're on a treadmill.
You get stuck in the process, or you trick yourself into being stuck in the process of doing to get better, but you're not producing. You're not getting closer to the goal line. It's like in football, you'd be running downs, but not getting any yardage.
You only get four downs.
Right. Well, and that's the thing.
That's why there's a limit. Yeah. So you don't have analysis paralysis.
Let's try to get the perfect play to get the touchdown.
Let's do it again, team.
But really what
we back on the line
is make progress. And sometimes we do confuse progress with trying to get perfectionism.
Yeah. What do they always say? I think action beats imperfection.
Yes.
Every time. Action beats imperfection. Good morning, Julin. I am so happy to see you. Seriously, Julin deserves an award.
She does. She's faithful.
Faithful, loyal, and she is, I want to say an old friend, but that sounds bad. I want to say a long time.
A loyal friend.
Long time friend. Yeah. Long time friend. I've known Julin since I was a wee little girl, like this high.
Since she was this tall.
Seriously. That's how long I've known her. I've known Julin since she was a baby. That's a long time.
Yeah.
Anyway, Julin, do you ever suffer from perfectionism? I have.
Yes.
I have gotten caught in this rut.
And I think a lot of times we recognize it in other people quicker than we recognize it in ourselves. Because like for me,
yeah,
like you pointed out in me, and I'm like, no, I just, and then I recognize that I'm scared to move forward because it's not right yet.
Do you want to know where Jason has perfectionism? I will tell you. It's when I go to load the dishwasher and he comes over and says, oh, no, let me do that. Let me do that. And he'll actually take out what I have loaded and he will reload it the way he wants it. Has that ever happened to you?
That's like
anyone.
Enneagram one.
Say I.
So that's the kitchen's my space. I don't know if that's perfectionism, but I'm used to doing things that way.
Well, if it's, what would you call it?
So
because you're literally taking the dishes out and saying,
so we're not moving in progress.
Yeah. That's not right. Right?
Yeah. For me, when I think of perfectionism, it's more of like a,
you're in a blind spot, Shelfer.
I am in a blind spot.
Good morning, Amy. Oh my gosh. She says, I have and still do. But to be honest, after 7 kids, I've had to give myself some grace things in order to have sanity.
And see, we don't have kids, but I hear that children are like a great equalizer in perfectionism.
Yes.
Like they, you start realizing, especially after the first child, okay, I don't have, everything doesn't have to be perfect.
Yeah.
Nature is going to take care of a lot of
it. Yeah, that is true. I mean, with our first foreign exchange student, I was getting up every day.
Making lunches.
At wee hours in the morning, making the perfect sandwich. And by 2 months in, I started finding her sandwiches that I was putting so much love in.
Hidden in the bed, hidden in the closet.
She was hiding them in the bed because she didn't want to hurt my feelings that she didn't like them. Oh, so you're right. You're so right. Amy says, for me, perfectionism manifests a lot.
Not getting things done because it's not done to the caliber
I wish for it to be. Yep. We had to read that sentence together. Teamwork.
Using those quarter words instead of nickel words.
That was the relay team there. Yeah. So right now I'm working with someone and we are overcoming a fear of doing videos and the fear of perfectionism, fear of getting the perfect language, fear of looking perfect, fear of how others will perceive us. I mean, there's so many fears there.
It was me when I first started doing some of these virtual coffees by myself.
Exactly.
I use you as kind of my crutch, I'm very comfortable with you. Mm-hmm. Because I know that if I run out of words, if I run out of thoughts, I've got someone that can kind of pick up that slack.
Yes.
But I would panic when I got in front of the camera and got on here with friends.
Yes.
And I can
deer in the headlights.
I can sit with friends all day long and talk.
I know. Jason's great at parties. If you ever want like a person to work the room or to socialize, or if you ever just want to host a party and not have to worry about entertaining your guests, invite Jason.
But it was very hard for me to have the virtual coffees because it was hard for me to talk to a camera.
Yeah. But it's not a camera.
I know. It's all of our friends and
Julie
and family.
Amy,
here.
Julie. Where's Sheila
She's
this morning?
Probably moving Holly.
Hello, Sheila. Oh, yeah, Sheila.
She'll be on later.
Sheila has to watch the replay because she doesn't want to wake up Holly.
But when I was hampered by perfectionism, mm-hmm. and kind of pulled into that, it really stopped me from moving forward. But once I kept showing up, I got better at it.
Yeah.
And it was about showing up and just doing it.
It's getting started and it's doing it. And like you said, getting to that goal line.
Yeah.
And so the more that as I'm working with this person and we keep redoing and perfecting the videos, we're not getting anything out. And I keep telling her, you know what? We just need to
take
a deep breath and put it out there and then work on doing the next one just a little bit better. How can I improve the next one, right? And it's so interesting because it all comes from this inner voice. It's this inner critic. And if we ask ourselves, if we actually stop and say, where is this voice coming from? Most people will be surprised to find that it's usually coming from a parent that was hard to please, maybe a teacher that was a little bit harsh or had a lot of discipline. It usually comes from someone in our past, and our inner voice starts to sound just like them. So the thought is it's not good enough. And if you just add, it's not good enough for whom? Who is it not good enough for? Who is it not good enough
for? And a lot of times the first thought is it's not good enough for me. Well, why is it not good enough for you? Because they will think something.
Who's they?
Because
who is they?
Someone is going to judge me on my output, my results, my whatever.
And if you just write down who they actually is, it usually comes down to about five people. About five people that we're trying to please. And sometimes they can come down to people who maybe weren't very nice to us in our lifetime. Like for me, one of my five people was a bully. Oh. It was a bully in sixth grade. And I think, you know what? Would I go to this person for advice now? No, I would never go to this person for advice. So why am I letting this person hold me back from making progress because I'm scared they're going to criticize me.
And then also, what is the actual intention, or what are your goals? So is putting it out now holding you back from reaching any goals based on, like, would you hit those goals by putting something out now?
Yes.
Or are you delaying those goals by not putting something out? So, like, especially in when you're talking about getting the word out to something.
Yes.
Are you delaying people hearing them? Say there's a fire in the, let's say there's a fire in the building somewhere.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that I get the message to everyone in the right way that there's a fire in the building.
No, you just want to say it right now.
You want people to start moving and start taking action to help themselves.
Action beats imperfection every single time.
So it doesn't matter how you say it. You want to make sure that you don't cause a panic, but you want to make sure that you are relaying the message in some way that there's a fire in the building, and then you start making your message better
then
in different
saying,
crowds.
Next time, how can I alert people a little bit better?
Right. Each next pocket of people, each next floor that you go to let people know, how can I help them move in a more orderly fashion? Right? But
exactly.
you have to start letting people know that there's a fire in the building.
Good morning, Jeff. Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, Betty.
It's kind of like what we're doing, because people are asleep to their lives. And it's like that hypnotic rhythm that everybody falls into. And if we wait to let people know, these are just some things that you can take action to move towards. If we rested in perfectionism to start talking and start having coffees and start, and when we saw that isolation was going to be an issue during COVID, we could have said, let's wait until we have all the equipment. Let's wait until we understand everything and start having coffees. But we started just having coffees.
Yeah, because I think sometimes being imperfect is actually more authentic.
Well, it's from the heart, right?
It's from the heart.
It's from the boobs.
That's right. It's from the heart. And I feel like it's more relatable too. It's imperfectly perfect. That's what it is. Imperfectly perfect. All right. Well, we just wanted to put our little two cents out about perfectionism, because we have experienced that in this household. And I think we've done a pretty good job of overcoming that hurdle. You could just look at our YouTube channel to realize that we got to the point where we're like, you know what? It's better to just do it.
Let's just do it.
Do it. Next week we'll try to get a little bit better.
That's Richard Branson's kind of mantra for
himself. I thought it was Nike.
No, well, Richard Branson's mantra for himself is screw it, let's do it.
Oh, screw it, let's do it. Yeah,
like that. If it sounds good, if it's going to be good for us, if it's going to be good for people, and it's going to be exciting,
screw it.
Let's do it. We'll figure it out.
I'm going to start saying that now. So if you hear me, Richard, thank you. Thank you for loaning your quote to me. Have a great day, guys, and we'll be back tomorrow morning. Bye-bye. If the idea of living lucky appeals to you, visit us at startlivinglucky.com.